On Friday, there was an article on the BBC website, Asda to allow permanent hybrid working for offices. Staff can choose where they work. They'll have the flexibility to work from home when it's more productive to do so. So if we work from home, why not worship from home? So much of life can be conducted online. What about the church? Why not the church? That's the question we've been looking at, isn't it, over these last few weeks. And today is our third and final session answering the question, why gather? Why gather? 2 weeks ago, we said, why gather? Because you're human. God made us souls and bodies. And the physical really matters. It matters enough for Jesus to come in a human body, and it matters enough for God to raise that body to life on the first day of the week, that first Easter Sunday. One online article put it like this: unlike ancient Gnostics, we insist on bodily incarnation. Unlike Muslims, we insist on bodily crucifixion. And unlike Protestant liberals, we insist on bodily resurrection. Bodies matter, the physical matters. Why gather? Because you're human. And then last week we said, why gather? Because church means gathering. That's what the word church means, a gathering, an assembly, a congregating. And the idea of online or hybrid church is a contradiction in terms, because the whole point of church is gathering, whereas the whole point of the technology is to avoid gathering. That's what the technology exists for. It's so that you don't have to be in the same place. That's what it's for, isn't it? Zoom and these things. It's so that you know, your business or your team can be in different locations, but still communicate. It's the opposite. They're pushing in different directions. One says church is for gathering. Zoom is to avoid gathering. Imagine someone claimed to be a footballer. Say, I'm a footballer. And what they mean is, I play FIFA on my Xbox, PlayStation. You say, well, it's a different thing. I mean, it's something, but it's not. You're not a footballer. And so it is. Online church is not church. Now, we chose to avoid gathering when COVID infections were at their peak, when people were vulnerable. But that was making the best of a bad job. That wasn't the new normal. So why gather? Because you're human, because church means gathering. So what about this morning? What are we going to cover this morning? Well, the first thing for this morning is community. Gathering in person is vital for community. It's our sense of community. Now let's consider a few verses from the scriptures. We haven't had a specific passage. We did read that psalm, an enthusiasm to be meeting with God's people. But we're once again this morning, we'll be back on main passages, looking at one place, God willing, next week, couple of weeks. But let's just pick out some verses from the New Testament. So let's think about how these work, God's commands for the church. How do these work with an online or a hybrid model? Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Paul, writing to the Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, or to the Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. If you're at home, can you address your brothers and sisters in song? Can you teach an admonishment? The answer is no. You can. If you've ever tried singing over Zoom, you know that it is not possible to do it with any sense of what it's supposed to do. And yet community singing that we're missing at the moment, which we're really looking forward to, community singing is a great means of encouragement. It's a great means of solidarity. We see that in the football terraces, don't we? They sing their songs. We want number 5. They're singing together. And there's a sense of being together. We're missing that at the moment. We're looking forward to that. But you can't do that online. We can sing, We can pipe the music out, but people who are singing, and you can even sing at home, but you're singing at home, can't bless us if you're at home. It's a way of expressing unity. And yet a hybrid service by definition is two on screen and in person. It's disunity. How about this one? Greet one another with a holy kiss. I suppose you could kiss the screen. It's not the same, is it? It's the whole dynamic of affectionate greeting, whether it's a kiss or a hug or a handshake, whatever works culturally, but that sense, that tangible sense, I'm pleased to see you. You're pleased to see me. We're greeting one another. We might say, well, surely that's a small thing. But is it? Do you know, we get this command 5 times in the New Testament. 5 times we're told to greet one another with a holy kiss. This sense of togetherness, which doesn't work for online, for hybrid. Gathering in person is vital for community. But what else happens when we gather? Well, when you gather, you bump into people and get talking. You learn something to pray about for them, or something that you can help with. Or you just give a word of encouragement. You spot someone who's looking down or a bit left out and you go over and you show love. Or maybe that's you and you receive it. Someone else calls you over because they know that you can help in this situation. And none of that happens on Zoom. Not the same. There isn't that same, I wasn't expecting to talk to you today, but here you are and we're sitting next to each other and so now we're talking. Well, listen to the Apostle John in 2 John and verse 12. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. Now, of course, in the ancient world, there were ways of communicating with other people without being with them. So John had written a letter. He'd written a small letter, the letter that we call 2 John, the second letter of John. And he wrote that because that was a good thing. He wanted to communicate like that, but he'd actually rather be there with them. I'd much more to write to you, but I would rather not use paper and ink. Said, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. You see, he's doing what he can, but he really wants to be with them. And so it is. We've been doing what we can with our hybrid services, with our Zoom, with our online interaction. But I would rather, that's how we should feel about it. I would rather talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. Face to face and joy are linked. They're not unrelated. Even our society knows that, doesn't it? That's why lockdown was so hard, because there wasn't face to face. And so there was less joy. In fact, the New Testament is full of one another commands. Love one another, greet one another, honor one another, teach one another, encourage one another, and dozens more. It's a great study to dig them all out. And all of them are so much easier when we're actually together. These one another commands, this one another in. Or for example, admonish one another. Sometimes we need a quiet word to help someone to see where they're going amiss, doing something wrong, or they're not doing something they should be doing. And you need to have a quiet word with them, or it might be you. And someone needs to have a quiet word with you. Would you like that to happen over Zoom? And says, no, you don't, do you? That's a private thing. When you're in person, you pick up body language. You really communicate. Here's how Paul puts it. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone. He says, I wish I could be with you. And then we'd really be communicating. Think about how Paul describes his own experience in the church in Thessalonica. We were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. Anyone for online mothering? An online mother, can you? Can't do it. And yet Paul uses that imagery to describe his relationship with the church. There are just so many commands that we can't fulfill, or not half as well online. And that's without mentioning the Lord's Supper, without mentioning baptism. Here's another very specific command from Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's pretty clear, isn't it? It's pretty clear. Don't neglect meeting together. When we stayed away out of love for our neighbours, out of concern for the well-being of the city, out of respect for the instructions of the state, when we stayed away for those reasons, it wasn't neglecting. It wasn't not doing it because we didn't want to do it. But now that we're allowed to gather, how can we evade this direct command? Certainly it's a temptation, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. You might say, oh yeah, but things are different now. No, no, things aren't any different than they were then. There were reasons not to gather then. There were pressures why it was easier to stay at home then. Now there are pressures, always there are. Yet we're not to neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. We should see it as a temptation to resist, not an option to choose, and still less a new normal to embrace. It's about encouraging one another. Now, all of us have different gifts and ministries. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, if you're a Christian, if you put your faith in him, if God's Spirit has come into your life and into your heart, then you have a gift, at least one, and maybe more. You have a ministry. But there's one ministry that almost all of us can exercise every week. You have that ministry. I said, which is this ministry? And it is the ministry of attendance. The ministry of attendance, the ministry of simply being here. You say, that's a very small thing, but often it's not. It's a great encouragement to me as I look out to see you here. It's a great encouragement to one another. Looking forward to meeting one another, to seeing one another. The ministry of attendance encourages our brothers and sisters. And without it, we won't be stirred up to love and good works as we should be. The church will be less loving than it should be. And we'll, between us, we'll be doing less good works than we should be doing if we're neglecting meeting together. And it may even be that we begin to waver in our confession of our hope that we're to hold fast to, particularly those who stay away. So community, gathering in person is vital for community. But there's a second word I want us to think about this morning, and that's the word commitment. Gathering in person expresses commitment. The great thing about online church is convenience, isn't it? Great thing about online church is convenience. You don't need to get the kids out of the door. You don't need to find a parking space. You don't need to navigate public transport. You don't need to brave the rain. You don't even need to change out of your pajamas. And when it's finished, at the press of a button, you're back home. Online church is so much more convenient. But is that a good thing? What does the writer to the Hebrews say in chapter 12? Let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, does that sit easily with pajama church? Does that sit easily with lounge on the sofa church? Does that fit easily with pop out for a coffee church? That's one of the things that I found hardest during lockdown, was feeling the sense and importance and significance of meeting to worship God when it was in the lounge, when it was sat where you sit to watch the TV and your mind just is, you know, or where you sit just to doze off. It was so hard in that situation to really engage and say, This is really important. This matters. This is significant. We can have church on in the background and not miss anything. Is that really getting us into the zone? The place we need to be in our heads and our hearts? Hardly. And then we wonder why God feels distant, why our minds wander, why we're not really engaged. commitment. Gathering in person expresses commitment, and it helps us to remember the significance of what we are doing. Listen to Jesus' words, Mark 8. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Jesus said that following me isn't convenient. It's not all about easy. Sometimes it's self-denial. In Luke, Jesus talks about taking up your cross daily. And if daily, then certainly weekly. And coming to church, it's hardly a heavy cross. The trouble with making church convenient is that it easily fits round everything else. But the God who made the universe is not eager to be fitted round us. Surely all of life should fit round him. The inconvenient excursion to church is a tangible, palpable reminder of that. It's a reminder that we fit round God and not the other way round. Like we saw earlier, when you pack your car to go on holiday, you start by putting in the big things. Little things fit right there. That was how we got all of the Lego into the jar, wasn't it? By putting the big things in first. That's how we're to see God. That's how we're to see his people. Those are the big things that fit in first into our lives. Each day, fitting in time to read God's word and pray. Not just snatch time on the phone. Not just when we're too tired to do anything else. Each week, the first day of the week, God's day, the Lord's day, meeting with his people. That should be the central event. And if other things fit around that, well and good. We should see the whole day as God's day. And yet we can use that. We can do different things in that. Opportunities for hospitality, opportunities to gather, opportunities just to relax and to enjoy good things. But it's all God's day. Everything fits around that. And if other things don't fit around that, so be it. By gathering, we declare what matters. And we've gathered together. We've said what matters to us. We've said it to ourselves. We've said it to our neighbours who see us going out. We've said it to one another. And we've said it to God. And we've said it to our children. If our children see that God just fits around the other things in life, then they'll do the same, except perhaps without the God bit. The fact is that we make time for what we want to, don't we? We say, oh, I've no time for this, I've no time for that, but we make time for what we want. We stream when we have to, and we show up when it's important. That's how it is in our world. In preparation for this series, I read a number of articles, I read a book, I read some articles, and I read some articles both for and against online church, sort of online moving forward. Here's a quote from an article that was enthusiastic about streaming. So here was a quote from an article that said, yes, you should keep going, you should keep doing this. This is the new normal. In fact, this was how it ended. It said this: the final benefit of streaming touches on an issue all churches wrestle with and lament. Gathered worship no longer seems to be a central priority in the lives of many Christians. We live in a highly mobile culture in which regular church attendance has dropped from once a week to once a month. Vacations, youth sports, and other priorities seem to pull on people more in our generation than in our parents' or grandparents' generation. I mean, to me, that seems like accepting the problem rather than addressing it. God is way down on the list, so let's work around that. We shouldn't water down church to facilitate those who are only mildly or tenuously interested. Humanly speaking, the strength of the church lies in those who are committed to it, not on the fringe who too frequently prioritize other things at a weekend. Our society teaches us to think, it's all about me. It's all about me. And the gospel teaches us to say it's all about God. And then it's all about them. God's people. Other things are secondary. The watch on demand may be fine. Print on demand may be the way to go for booksellers. but God on demand is blasphemous. And church on demand is moving in that direction. Commitment, gathering in person expresses commitment. It says, this matters. These people matter. This act matters. God matters. So gathering is vital for community. Gathering expresses commitment. I've got one final word, more briefly, and that's concern. I want to address what I think are the two strongest arguments for an online or a hybrid service. Concern. What about concern for outreach? Evangelism, reaching out. What about concern for shut-ins who can't make it to church? Well, let's start with outreach. What about outreach? Undoubtedly, over the past year, quite a few people have attended church online who would never have gone in person. Right? Some of that has been the chaos of our all that was happening around, and people just wanted that sense of, peace or doing something different. But certainly people have attended church online who would never have gone in person. We should give God thanks for that. We should praise God for that. And certainly we want to have stuff online to introduce people to the gospel and to the church. Maybe short videos to watch or even a sample service. But ultimately, if people are truly to follow Christ, and if they're to profess their faith in baptism, and if they're to grow as disciples, they need to come along. They need to get over that at some point. Yes, we want to connect with people. We want to encourage them, but not as a permanent solution. And we shouldn't underestimate the power of even a very ordinary, unimpressive church as we gather to worship God, as we gather to hear his word. We look around, we think we're just so few, it's so unimpressive. And yet when an ordinary church gathers, when we gather and we want to meet with God and we're pleased to sing his praises and we're attentive to hear his word, that has an impact on visitors. Much more so, I suspect, than streaming. Streaming tends to highlight the fact that we're amateurs compared to most online content. It communicates the fact that this isn't something that we are pros at. And what it does is it fails to showcase the most striking element of people, solemn and joyful, attentive and enthusiastic, that you see when you gather with God's people in person. You shouldn't underestimate the power of that, as if online is a sort of panacea for reaching out. In our society, human interactions seem to be decreasing. Even when you phone a business or a bank, you don't get a person. You get an automated message and you go an awful way through. You know, you can do everything without ever talking to another human being. That seems to be more and more in our society. Loneliness is a bigger pandemic than COVID ever was. We should be encouraging and facilitating real person interaction. That's what we should be about. So yes, there are opportunities online. We can use online, but not at the expense of the church. And we should be concerned about outreach, about taking out the gospel, about using technology to get into people's homes and lives. But we shouldn't assume that church services are the only place, or even the main place where evangelism happens. It does happen here, but not only here. It seems that most people come to faith through a personal interaction, come to Jesus through personal interactions. And our personal interactions are the key thing, rather than a general online presence. And if hybrid church weakens church, then it will weaken outreach in the long run. It's a false economy to say, for the sake of outreach, we're going to change church. But if that change to church weakens church, then it will weaken outreach in the long run. We'll undermine the very thing we want to promote. What about outreach? So we're right to think about that because we should be all about the Great Commission. But I don't think it's a reason to keep church half and half. So what about shut-ins? What about people who genuinely cannot come to church because they're homebound or because they're hospitalised? I mean, if the last year hasn't given us new empathy for such people, then nothing will. If last year hasn't given us a new empathy for people who are locked down, then nothing will. It's so important that maybe it's given us a new sense of what it's like not being able to get out. If that hasn't given us new empathy, then nothing will except being in that place ourselves. Certainly it's good if people are able to hear the ministry. We already do that by recording our sermons. It's great that people can hear or worship and sing along to worship. There are plenty of hymns and songs that can be accessed online or on CD. If folks aren't able to make it to church, our people, we need to make sure that they're able to access that to the best of our ability. But even here, there may be a danger with Zooming or live streaming the service. We may be tempted to think that we've done what we need to do. Church has gone out, it's been pushed out through the camera, and therefore, surely we've cared for, we've catered for those who can't come. No way. Far better for us as a church to be regularly visiting people who can't make it, providing real human contact, not just Zoom services or even phone calls. People need visiting. People need real human contact, not just Zoom. We can go and say, let me tell you about what happened. Let me tell you about what we learned. So I think, yes, if we had someone who physically couldn't make it, we'd want to think how we can bring church to them in some way. That might include services, but also people, above all, people. So why gather them? Why gather? Bring this little series. There are more things that could be said, but 3 weeks is enough on this topic. Why gather? Why gather? Because we're human. Why gather? Because church means gather. We gather to build community. We gather to express commitment. We gather notwithstanding our concern for outreach and for shut-ins. 1 Timothy 2 tells us there is one mediator between God and mankind. There's one mediator between God and men. And it isn't Zoom. It isn't Zoom. It's the man Christ Jesus. So wherever possible, we gather as body and soul people to worship our embodied Saviour who rose bodily from the dead. Remember that verse in Hebrews 10 again, coming back to this great challenge. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe our appetite for physical church is related to our appetite for Christ's physical return. I wonder if that would be the case, that those who are more happy to stay at home and less interested in Jesus coming again. That's something to think about. So the writer puts them together, not neglecting to meet together, all the more as you see the day drawing near. In the meantime, we're to watch and wait. The online world lures us with the promise of convenience, but we await the promise of his coming, a great gathering of people from the four corners of the earth. May we live and may we gather in the light of that great prospect. Let's close with a final song.